WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Moral distress occurs when one knows the ethically correct action to take, but feels powerless to take that action. I recently spoke with Abigail Latimer, a licensed clinical social worker and PhD candidate at the University of Kentucky, about the concepts of moral distress and moral injury in healthcare and how the pandemic has exacerbated moral distress. She'll also talk about some potential solutions. Well, Abby, thank you so much for talking with me today, and thanks for revisiting with me about this concept of moral injury. We haven't talked since the pandemic began, and I know the pandemic itself is a huge pressure on social workers, other health professionals. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Moral injury and moral distress are kind of used interchangeably in a lot of ways. And it was a concern before the pandemic, often seen in situations where people aren't able to do what they need to do because of some kind of constraint, whether they don't have enough staff to help out or there's too many documentation requirements and they just don't feel like they can provide adequate care. But then also a lot of situations in end-of-life care and situations with ventilators and people kind of call it aggressive treatment, we see a lot of issues of moral distress and moral injury where these healthcare professionals just can't, they don't feel like they can do what they morally are obligated to do for the patient's best interest. So now with the pandemic, it's really heightened a lot of this, just overwhelming sources of grief and overwhelming hospitals with critically ill patients and seeing patients in settings where they're not necessarily used to helping people at end of life, like emergency rooms. And it's really putting a lot of our healthcare professionals, from healthcare workers, direct care workers like home health aides or hospital aides, bedside nurses, even clerical staff, and then physicians and nurse practitioners as well.
And is that sort of a working definition then of moral injury that you've just given?
Yeah. So it's so in the healthcare setting, we've worked more with moral distress, which is that definition. Moral injury comes out of more of the military literature, but when you look at both of their definitions, they're pretty much identical. It's just occupationally specific.
I see. And I think this moral distress, again, something that we knew about pre-pandemic, and yet now, with just looking at supply and demand of personal protective equipment, of vaccines, it puts our healthcare workers in this incredible bind of almost potentially whatever decision they make, it's almost a lose-lose proposition.
Yeah, they're put in impossible situations, and we don't have a lot of literature that supports this idea that it contributes to depression, but it feels almost like common sense that it kind of does contribute to poor mental health, you know, especially with whether you don't have enough PPE, where you're sort of masking up the best you can, or you have a ton of PPE and aren't able to connect with the patients. But also patients not being able to have anybody with them, and bedside nurses and physicians and all those other healthcare professionals sitting with these people as sort of their only sources of support. The grief and the overwhelm, and in addition, just the ethical task to show up to work every day, where they're being sort of forced to choose, do I risk myself and the safety of myself and my family for that of the community and the patients that I serve, or do I step away from the setting and protect myself? And it's just it's a pretty incredibly difficult scenario for them.
Well, and I know as part of your graduate work and your professional work, you're gathering a lot of data on just this and looking at, I guess, concepts of translational research and having knowledge go, you know, from the bench to the bedside. Are there any things that counselors and others can be doing to address this moral distress in healthcare workers?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do with my dissertation and my research is to figure out how to help folks. And what we know sort of so far is that naming these experiences and validating these emotions that come with it, all these really complex emotions, is sort of that the first response and hopefully developing some self-compassion and forgiveness through the naming and the validation and being able to sort of transform these really difficult scenarios and make meaning from them. But most importantly, doing that hard work to forgive yourself or to just sort of transform that relational meaning of whatever happened into something more constructive and positive versus, you know, self-blame or blaming others or anger or guilt. You know, there's an emotional PPE project that's out there right now, which connects healthcare professionals to a counselor without, you don't have to have insurance or anything. And that's a really great resource. And I'm hoping that more and more stuff like that will come out to help folks, because I think we've got a pretty good idea that it's there and we have a pretty good idea of where it's coming from. So now it's just, what do we do with it and what's going to be the most effective way to help mitigate any of the potential consequences that could happen with experiencing some of these morally distressing scenarios.
I love that concept of emotional PPE, and I'm ashamed to say I have not heard of that before until you just mentioned it. But, you know, I come from a generation of healthcare workers where when we were in training many, many years ago, the general consensus was tamp everything down, don't acknowledge anything personally, suck it up and just do your job, and I really don't want to hear about it if you're in distress. And of course, the emotional and physical toll from that mentality on physicians, nurses, other healthcare workers was horrific.
Yeah, I think we're realizing that we're not ice cube trays, right? We can't just sort of put all these little spaces and experiences in these little trays and keep them compartmentalized. It bleeds over and spills over into each other. And so we have to figure out a way to not just stuff it down or avoid it, but to actually take it out and look at it. And that can be really hard, especially when you're so busy. So I'm hoping that we will be able to encourage and provide spaces for these healthcare professionals to take the time to reflect and to pull it out and kind of look at the hard stuff and reframe some of these experiences so hopefully it doesn't linger and cause more damage to themselves.
Abby, is there anything we haven't touched on yet that you would want our listeners to hear before we part?
I don't think so. Just a lot of gratitude for everybody that's doing this hard work at the bedside or at home in so many different settings. It's affecting pretty much anybody that has any contact directly with people. So, you know, just a lot of appreciation.
My thanks today to Abigail Latimer, licensed clinical social worker and PhD candidate at the University of Kentucky, for talking about moral distress in healthcare. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.